And yet, people in our groups have a lot of tongues. And we should have a lot of tongues like Paul. But if he said in the church, I'd rather speak just a few words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, and I speak in tongues more than you all, where must he have done most of his speaking in tongues? From what he said, it had to be at home, or in private, or on the road. Right? So we need more speaking in tongues at the house. We need a lot of it. How many think we'd get more out of life if we had less TV and more tongues? You know it's true. But in the church, what do we need more of? Prophecy. We need more prophecy. Because that edifies the people. He said, verse 23, if the whole church come together in one place and all are speaking with tongues, and there comes in somebody unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? Does the Lord care how we come across to the uninitiated, to the outside world? Is it okay for us to roll our eyes in the back of our head and scream in tongues and people just spaz out and go, man, they're crazy. And we go, wow, we're peculiar people. Is that okay?
No.
It's not okay. He's saying, y'all all come together and you're just screaming in tongues and there's no interpretation and there's no direction and nobody's getting edified. He said, people will say you're crazy. It's not okay. And there's no need in you talking loud in tongues besides your co-workers at work that don't believe in it. Why would you do that? To show off? To try to be different? Try to stand out? See, this can be wrong. Love edifies. Knowledge puffs up, the Bible said. But love builds up. Love edifies. For the most part, most of the time, they ought to think you're a pretty regular guy. Oh, I lost some people on that. Most people that meet you at work and in the workplace and in the grocery store, for the most part, their impression of you ought to be a stable, solid, nice person. Easy to be around. Easy to get along. Not some wild, crazy person. I'm going to need to camp on that just a little bit more, don't I? Because there are different camps that just want to work people into a frenzy. And go into McDonald's and jump up on the table and scream in tongues for 15 minutes. And then say, now God will give you the interpretation. And leave. This kind of stuff is happening. It's not okay. And then you hear this. I had to do it. The Holy Ghost came on me. And when He comes on me, I've got to do it. I mean, I couldn't stop if I wanted to. Not true. That's not my opinion. That's the next verses we're about to read. He said, won't they say you're mad? One translation says raving and out of your mind. That's not a good witness. Unless they're raving out of your mind. Is not a good witness. The Bible talks about in Timothy, we're to have a good rapport and a good report with them that are without. They might not agree. They might know that the things we believe that they don't agree, but they should enjoy being around us. We're nice people. We're people of love. We're people that'll pay the bill at lunch. Oh, come on now, surely. I said, we'll pick up the tab. Everybody likes to be around tab picker-uppers. Right? We'll fill your car up with gas. Oh, that was weak. That was weak. That was weak. You know how much it takes to fill up? I know exactly how much it takes to fill up a tank of gas. You're to fill up an airplane. $7.50 a gallon last week. But is God bigger than $9.95 a gallon? If you got enough money and resources, it wouldn't matter if it was $40 a gallon. If you got enough resources, you're going to be okay. But if you get to poor mouthing and looking at the clouds, you're in trouble. Do not join in with the world. What are we going to do? What in the world? This thing's coming apart. Man, it's going down. How can we live? These words should not come out of your mouth, my brother, sister. This is unbelief. This is like unsaved people talk. You ought to treat it like cuss words. Friend, the more stuff is pressing, the more vital it is you talk faith. Your survival depends on it. You better be saying, no matter what happens, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever we need, we will have. And more besides. Please, do you and your family a favor and quit talking like the world and begin to talk like believers. Of course, prophesying would help. Can we all speak in tongues?
Yes.
Can we all prophesy?
Yes.
Will it do you any good?
Yes.
When you prophesy, what kind of effect does it have? Edifying.
Yes, sir.
Building up.
Yes.
Calling up. Exhorting. Encouraging. Comforting. Yes. What if you looked at something and it gave you sticker shock and it scared you? Time to prophesy.
Yes.
And get comforted. Right? Get back encouraged. Get back built up. What if something hit you, a big bill hit you, and you just felt weak in the knees? You need strength. You need to be built up. You need to be edified. You better not talk all that unbelieving junk you hear on the news. You better get to prophesying. I'm not talking about telling the future. I'm talking about what the Bible is talking about. Keep reading. Verse 24, but if all prophesy, and they come in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. So falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How many know this is valuable? How could it do all this to somebody, even that's unlearned or unbeliever? They are understanding every word you're saying. But you're not talking off the top of your head. It's coming out of your spirit. So there's life in it. And there's strength in it. And yes, from here we see there can be revelation in it. They're seeing things. And what they're seeing is not how spiritual you are. They're seeing that God is really there. God is really in our midst. God is really in our life. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not just a bunch of religious junk. He really is there.
Amen.
How valuable is this? Unlearned and unbelievers are going, God's real. He's real. And what caused it to happen? Prophesy. But now, don't assume you know what that means. We need a lot of mind renewal. Again, prophesying is not just foretelling. It's not prediction. Not just prediction or telling the future. Let's keep reading. He said, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. He's not so much encouraging them to come with something. He said, you are coming. And everybody's wanting to give out something. He said, it needs to be done, whatever is done, so that the whole body is built up and benefited. Not just so you have your 10 minutes of fame. Not just so you're in the spotlight, you get to do your thing. Well, I was praying and I saw something in the Word today. Well, all of us should have been praying and seen something in the Word today. Are y'all with me tonight? Well, man, I got to praising God. I got to praising God. Woo, I felt the anointing. Woo, I felt the anointing, so I got to get up. That should be able to be echoed by 1,000 other people. Right? So why should you get up? Revelation tonight. We're getting revelation. And yet, God can use different ones. Doesn't always have to be the same one. We want to be open. Keep reading. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, instead of 10, 15, 20 at a time. And that by course, one at a time. And let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, get this. He's got something. Oh, can you see this? He's got something. But by the time the service is over, let me ask you a question. Did he give it out? No. And that's okay. I said, that's okay. Because a whole lot of things are more for you than they are the whole congregation. But immature babies don't know that. They just so amazed and excited that they felt some anointing. And they'll assume that nobody else has ever had an experience like this. Unless you should give me the whole 2 hours. But a lot of times that just ain't the case. Other people may have experienced far beyond where you are. Practicing in private makes you proficient in public. I know for years the Lord has allowed me to sing songs publicly. We did it with Brother Hagin for 2 decades. And in our own ministry, and you know, allowed us to record them and other people sing them. I was hearing somebody in another country the other day singing one of those choruses the Lord gave me. Thrills my heart, blesses me. But I did not set out to do that. I didn't have 5 people come and prophesy that you'll be a great psalmist one day and you'll have a psalmist ministry and a psalmist and a psalmist and a psalmist and a woo-wee. I've had numerous times people bring their children to me, little ones, and they got their hand on them. They go, oh, Brother Keith, Sister so-and-so prophesied over my baby. Brother so-and-so prophesied over my baby. They'll have a greater ministry than the Apostle Paul. They'll have a stronger anointing for this than so-and-so and so-and-so. And I am so concerned for that child while they are talking. They want me to jump up and down and lay hands on them too and say glory to God, but I'm concerned. So why? You can have the most amazing call on your life and never do anything. A call is just that. A call. It is nothing accomplished and done. A call is not a ministry. And just because you got a call on your life does not mean you're qualified to stand in it. Or operate it, do it at all. You have to pass tests. And one of the biggest tests you got to pass is the humility test. And I know from what they're telling me, they ain't got a clue about it. If they did, they wouldn't even say these things in front of the child. That child would be cutting grass and washing clothes and ironing and taking care of the laundry and the dishes. Did you hear me?
Amen.
And when they talked spiritual things, they'd say, "Yeah, is your homework done?" Oh, I got four people with me. I know what I'm talking about, guys. I've had some amazing spiritual experiences myself. I've been caught up. I've had visions. I've heard things. I've seen things. And I'm telling you, the natural side is so important. I don't care what kind of spiritual experience you've got, if you don't have some natural discipline, if you don't have some mind control, if you don't have some faithfulness, some integrity in your word, some good old-fashioned grit, you're not going to make it in ministry. I don't care what kind of call. I don't care who prophesied over you. I don't care what kind of vision you had. It's not enough. Y'all with me tonight? So what should I do? You should do what the Bible tells you to do. Jesus had some amazing prophecies over him when he was very young. Didn't he? And if anybody could have got excited about it and could have said, "This is going to be the most amazing ministry the world has ever seen," because it was. It could have been Mary and Joseph. Instead, what did she do? She didn't write all the prophets. I said she didn't write all the prophets and prophetesses. She didn't carry Jesus along and drag him to every meeting and have everybody and their brother and sister lay hands on him. Friend, there's a lot of people you don't want laying hands on your child. I don't care who they are. What'd she do? Come on, anybody read the Bible lately? What'd she do? She pondered it in her heart. That sounds like being quiet about it to me. Instead of talking it, letting it simmer, and just watching it, praying about it privately, believing God about it. Right? There's some things, even if you know about your kids, you don't need to tell them until the right time. They need to learn the basics. They're not going to be a good man of God, and they're not even a good kid. They need to learn how to be a good student in school. Be a good worker. Right? They need to learn these basic things. How many understand Jesus learned how to be a carpenter? How many think he was a good one? How many think he showed up for work when he was supposed to? And he did a good job. Well, if anybody would have had a right to skip out because they've got an amazing call on their life and skip school and not go to work, it would have been him. But real men and women of God are a lot more natural than people think. I've been around, in my estimation, some of the most spiritual people on the planet. Not all of them. Two or three of them, handful of them, and I'm telling you, they're interested in how to slice a tomato the right way. They're interested in things being clean and neat. They're interested in natural things, and they're big on it. It's got to be right. People are confused. They think they're an exception to everything. And my child is so special, they're an exception to everything. They don't have to do what other people do. And they don't realize if there is a call on their life, you're ruining it. If they've got no discipline, if they've got no stick-to-itiveness, they're not going to make it. I don't care what kind of call's on their life. I didn't intend to say all that, but we did. And it's true. It is true. A lot of things that are spiritual, you don't have to talk them. What'd Mary do? She knew it. She saw things coming. But some things are holy. They're not to be talked about and bannered around and waved like a flag under everybody's nose. My child's a prophet. My child's a prophet. My child's an apostle. My child's an apostle. Friend, reminds me of the pear tree. Once upon a time, there was a pear tree out in the forest. But it was wintertime. And no leaves. And he said, I'm a pear tree. And the other cedars and the other pines says, you're a little scrub bush. I'm a pear tree. I have the most luscious pears. The most amazing pears. I'm a pear tree. I'm famous. They've written articles about me. They said, oh, shut up, you little scrub bush. Horse is liable to step on you and knock you down. You're a little scrub bush. You're nothing. Now that pear tree can holler and clamor and call for respect. And you've got to respect my office. You've got to acknowledge my gift. No, they don't. Nobody does. You've got to respect my gift. No, we don't. Nobody does. Jesus' gift wasn't even acknowledged and respected in his own hometown. No, people don't have to acknowledge your gift. And he can yell, I'm a pear tree, all winter long until he's hoarse. Or, just wait. And if things are right, and he really is a pear tree and got a pear tree call on his life. And if he'll keep his feet in the ground, keep his roots going down, and keep reaching up for glory, and keep spreading out and growing and developing little at a time, little at a time, little at a time, steady but sure, wins the race. There'll come a time when there'll be great, big, luscious, juicy, wonderful tasting, smelling, amazing pears. And everybody that comes by will see and know this is a pear tree. You won't have to put a sign up and say pear tree. You won't have to put no neon lines, lights, or flashing arrows going, pear tree here, pear tree. No. You'll know them by their fruits. Don't try to convince people of what you are. Be what you are. Not just talk. Fruit. Prove it. And if it's there over a period of time, it'll begin to be obvious. People will see it. People will know it. You think you see something? A lot of times you should just ponder it in your heart. Keep reading this. Can we finish this up? Praise the Lord. Yes, this is just as much for the people watching by internet as those who are in the room. Yes. Keep reading. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Are there times when you legitimately get something, but you should just keep it to yourself? I talked about songs. I started just singing to the Lord in our little mobile home in Mississippi on my little genuine imitation leather couch with the red shag carpet. Little, I'm not talking about modular home. I'm talking about trailer. There's a difference. There's some nice modular homes around. This is an older trailer. But I could sing to the Lord in that trailer. Sing to the Lord in the nighttime. And I began to sing songs that I hadn't heard. I'd just sing out of my heart. And I didn't know it then, but the Lord was leading me and teaching me to prophesy. Yes, sir. Hold your place here. Go to Revelation. Revelation 19. Here's, to me, one of the best definitions of prophecy that you will ever, ever find. Don't get carried away with prophet so-and-so's definition of prophecy or apostle so-and-so's definition. Come back to the Bible. What does the Bible say it is? Because there is a lot of goofy stuff around. And not everything that people call prophecy is Bible prophecy is right. You understand, every time I say the word, even in this room, prophecy, people's minds are like, me? Prophesy? Sounds funny. Sounds strange. But it's because we haven't been taught what it is. And people only think of prophet. And this word prophetic is just abused nowadays. Everything is prophetic. Prophetic, 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 prophetic cookies. Prophetic everything. Let me say something, and this is very important to discern and know. Just because you prophesy, it doesn't make you a prophet. How could it be if he says, you may all prophesy, and then he says, are all prophets? And the answer is obviously no. So, it's not just the ministry of a prophet. Did you find Revelation 19? 10? He said, I fell at his feet to worship him, this angel. And the angel said to me, see, you do it not. How many know we do not worship angels? Ever. We never worship an angel. Okay, what kind of vision or appearance you might have. See that you do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Say that out loud a couple of times. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Two more times. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. One more time. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Is the spirit of prophecy. Do you know that what people have called testimony has at times actually been prophecy? Common among Pentecostal churches some years ago, particularly, to have testimony services. And somebody'd come up and lead, and then somebody in the congregation stand up and testify, and somebody else would testify, and somebody else would testify. And sometimes they weren't prophecy. Like one lady said, I just want to testify, the devil's been after me all week. Bless his holy name. We know what she meant, but... And people just go on for 10 minutes talking about how bad it is and how hard it is, and y'all pray for me. That's not the testimony of Jesus. That's the testimony of how hard it is. Right? So that's not the spirit of prophecy. And yet... There were also prophecies. So-and-so would stand up, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so would stand up, and everybody was glad when they stood up. Because they'd lift up their hand and go, I just want to thank Jesus. He's been so good to me. And they'd begin to, right out of their heart, nothing rehearsed, nothing prepared, nothing memorized. This is very important now. Nothing rehearsed, nothing memorized, yes, right out of their heart. Just begin to praise Jesus and give testimony to His glorious deliverance and His faithfulness. And as they did, you could tell there was an anointing on it. There was an anointing on it. And as, particularly if it was a good strong anointing, it went out over the whole crowd. People would get encouraged. Oh, you know, Deacon so-and-so would go, yeah, glory to God. Sister so-and-so would go, amen. And people begin to respond why they are experiencing edification, exhortation, and comfort. Why? She's prophesying. And yet we called it testifying. Oh, can you see this? Now, a lot of people have gotten a ditch today. There are a bunch of folk that are big on prophecy. But the only thing they know about it is stand still and let me prophesy to you. Thus saith the Lord, you're supposed to do this, buy the Chevy, not the Ford. Yea, thus saith the Lord, wear the red tie, not the blue one. Yea, thus saith the Lord, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to do this. And what they're trying to do is step over into the ministry of the prophet, and they're not one. And people are missing it in these areas. And yet all of us could be prophesying, but not telling each other what to do. And what clothes to wear and who to marry. What car to buy. Are y'all with me tonight or not? Some folks like this. Some folks not so much. Don't take my word for it. I know there's been a lot of stuff. How many remember 1 Thessalonians 5 says, despise not prophesying. Why would you have to tell people that? Because they have seen so much goofy junk that it gets to where when somebody pops up and goes, thus saith the Lord, they go, oh, no, not again, not again. Oh, dear me. Like, well, you know, it's popular for people to get together in their homes and other places and prophesy to each other. Very popular nowadays. Very popular. And people are so many times more interested in displaying my spirituality than they are in the edification. And sometimes trying to step into an office that they're not called to. This one group was having a prophesying meeting. A brother of mine was telling me one time. He said they were kind of waiting for some of the people to get there and they hadn't got there yet. And one of the guys jumped up and said, yea, thus saith the Lord, they're not coming. Sat down, and as he was sitting down, they heard the gravel. And it was their car. He popped back up and said, yea, thus saith the Lord, they changed their mind. They'll be pulling up any time. This one group, this is in a capital city of a certain state. They were having a meeting. I know one of the guys that was there. And this fella, they asked him to say a word, and he thought that was his lifetime opportunity. And he just jumps up and starts prophesying to everybody, and is just missing it right and left and won't quit. He told one guy, he said, the Lord shows me. You're high up in the city. High up in the city. He said, well, I'm a garbage man. He turned to another guy, and the Lord shows me that you'll have a great ministry of singing. Great ministry of singing. He said, brother, my wife don't even like to hear me sing in the shower. She tells me to be quiet. And he just kept on and just missing it. And finally he said, thus saith the Lord, Vern, God's got a word for you. Vern. And he went on and went on and went on until everybody was just, oh, Lord, you know, just, Vern? And they said, finally, one of the guys that was on the platform, they knew he didn't even believe in this. He stood up and said, yea, thus saith the Lord, Vern's not here. Sit down. Well, that's why. Even in these days, people came to despise prophesying. But what does the Lord say? Don't despise it. Because even though people have missed it, it could be Him this time. Right? And you just throw out the baby with the bathwater, you could miss it big time. But what we do is we judge it. All prophecy should be judged. Somebody wants to prophesy? Okay. But we're sitting there going, is this God or not? Well, no, you have to accept it. No, we don't. We're supposed to judge it. That's right. And when you get through, you can look at us and we'll go, Or we might go, you're going to judge my prophecy. We're told to. We're supposed to. And you don't need to get bent out of shape if we don't accept it. Amen. You don't accept my prophecy, I'll curse you. I'll call for... Oh, so now you're a witch. And some of these people can run just that hot and cold. No, listen. The 14th chapter that we didn't finish reading, verse 30, 14:30. He said, if any, verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. We're to be aware of everybody around us, aren't we? And the Spirit of God moving through somebody else. How many know you don't know it all? You don't have it all. You're not the only one around that can hear from God. Or can see something or can get something. He said for you, verse 31, get this now. This is the Bible. If you hadn't got it underlined, underline it. Read it out loud to me. For you may all prophesy. Who can prophesy?
All.
Who?
All.
Does that mean you?
Yes.
And the person sitting beside you?
Yes.
And the person behind you?
Yes.
And the person in front of you? Every one of us in here, everybody in every church, everywhere that'll receive the Spirit and believe in the things of the Spirit and yield to the Spirit, you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn, that all may be comforted. Here's this love coming back up again. And the spirits of the prophets are what? When people say, I had to do it. I had to give it out. I had to do that. I had to say that. No, no. It was your choice. 32 in the Living Bible says, the Living Bible, verse 32, remember that a person who has a message from God has the power to stop himself or wait his turn. These people that say, well, I had to do it. God made me do it. No, no, I'm sorry. God's not a demon. He's not possessing people and controlling them and making them do stuff. It's always up to us whether we yield or whether we don't. Verse 32, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. How many know when the Spirit of God really is moving? Even if 14 people were involved, it's smooth. It works together. It flows. It's comfortable. Everybody's benefited, right? When it's just this hodgepodge and nothing fits and it's dead or it's uncomfortable and it just goes from bad to worse, well, that's just people getting in the flesh. And don't judge. I mean, I've missed it. Anybody that stepped out much has probably made mistakes. Not probably, has made mistakes. And, you know, if you say, well, oh, I wouldn't step out because I might make a mistake, you're making a big one. Right there. One of the biggest you could ever make. You have to be, but the thing is, you just got to be willing to learn. And if you're corrected, just smile and receive it. And go, well, thank you for helping me out with that. You go, well, and you know, we don't have to be mean if somebody has learned some things. No need to be mean and rough with folks. Just go, you know, that first part, that sounded like the Lord. But that last three-fourths, I think that was just you. And you need to go, yeah, but the first quarter was God. Yeah. Woo, glory to God. And we'll cut that last part off. Now that you said it, I knew something wasn't right when I was saying it, but I couldn't figure out quite what, I couldn't put my finger on it. Well, now you know. You learn. You grow. Prophesying. And these things have a whole lot of us in it. A whole lot of us. And we're learning. And we're growing. In that little trailer house. No audience. No 48-track machine recording. Just me and the red shag carpet. And I'd praise the Lord. And I'd sing a song that I hadn't heard anybody else sing. Now, it was not smooth. And it didn't always rhyme. And it wasn't always good musically. And some of them I never sang again. That was just my special song to the Lord. It really didn't work. And it wasn't fit for public consumption. But if I hadn't had those, I wouldn't have developed. Any matter what I'm talking about. But sometimes people think, well, yeah, but you got the ministry of a psalmist. Well, you got to watch about that kind of thing and throwing words around. You may all prophesy. You can just out of your heart begin to speak and begin to extol God. It can't be something that you've memorized. It can't be something out of your head. It's got to be something unrehearsed, something spontaneous, out of your spirit. What am I going to say? You don't know. You just start out by faith. Right? Stand up on your feet, everybody. Singers, players, where are y'all? Come right on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's a little chorus I want us to sing. You might remember it, Dwayne. I don't know. What key you in? Go to E flat. G.
Yes, sir.
No, that's not right either. How about C? He goes, oh, praise the Lord. Kind of a calypso thing. Oh, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, praise the Lord. My Jesus is worthy to be praised. Oh, praise the Lord. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, praise the Lord. Da, 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 da. Oh, praise the Lord. My Jesus is worthy to be praised. Everybody say, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Come on, sing it, oh. Praise the Lord, my Jesus is worthy to be praised. I like praising Jesus, He's so good to me. I lift up His praises, and He gives me victory. Everybody's singing, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh,
praise the Lord.
My Jesus is worthy to be praised. I'm indwelled by the Holy Ghost. He lives big in me. He gives me the utterance. And I sing and I praise. Doesn't have to rhyme. Oh, praise
the Lord.
Everybody say, oh,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
praise the Lord. My Jesus is worthy to be
praised.
I'm going to sing it again. Then Susan, you're going to sing the next verse. Oh, praise the Lord. Singing, oh. Oh, praise the Lord, singing all. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus is
worthy.
Sing out, Susan. Everything.
Praise
my Jesus, oh,
praise
heaven. God looks at your heart. He's not listening to see how your pitch is. I understand you take the best singers in the world and hold them up against God's tuning fork. I think they'd be out. Everything's tainted by the curse down here. So he's not looking for that. But you don't have to wait. You don't even have to have any music. What you do have to have is a heart. And you love God. And you want to praise Him. You can sing it in tongues. But you need to step up to another level. I understand it takes more faith when you're saying something in your language you know. Because you're hearing what you're saying. It makes it a little more challenging. But do we need to develop in this? Let's sing some more. Everybody say, oh,
praise the Lord.